Welcome to Minutes of Truth radio program brought to you by the Ellettsville Church of Christ. We invite you to open your Bible and follow along as Paul Adams leads us in a study of God's Word.
Good morning and welcome to this Minutes of Truth Bible study. Mark Schatz is here, and my name is Paul Adams, and we are ready to study in the Word of God. We have been studying through the book of 1 Peter, and as we've been looking at this very first chapter, we've been noticing some great themes. We've been thinking about an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled. We've been thinking about trials that try to keep us from seeing that inheritance that God has for us. And most recently, we talked about how God has called us to be holy, just as He is holy. And we pick up again today in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17, down through verse 21. Would you like to read that, Mark?
I will. Starting in verse 17, if you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God.
As we look at this passage of Scripture, one of the things that Mark and I were observing as we were studying together about this is that there are some reasons here that we ought to be willing to change our conduct. Here he talks about that we ought to be holy. We ought to be these people who are preparing our minds. And as we do that, we want to conduct ourselves in the right way, a way that is pleasing God. Well, why would someone want to change their conduct? Why would they want to live a holy life? What are some motivators for those of us who may be going through trials but want the inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled? We want the hope of heaven. What are some motivators that would help us to be all that God would want us to be? Do you see some there, Mark?
Yeah, if we look at verse 17 more closely, there's kind of an if-then type situation. The then would be the second part of the verse, which is conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. And the if there's a couple things we saw in that phrase. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. Let's break that down and look at it. It starts out as, and remember, these are motivators for changing our conduct and living holy and being holy. The first one is, if you address as Father. There's the idea that we can look at, that when we address God as our Father, we're His children, that we want to be like Him. And that harkens up to verse 16 where it says, you shall be holy for I am holy. We want to be like our Father, so that should motivate us to change our conduct so that we can be holy. If we look at that first phrase in verse 17 again, we can see the second one, and I'll emphasize it as I read. If you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each one's work. There's the second motivator of good conduct or holy conduct, is that we're going to face a judge that is impartial. It doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. He's going to impartially judge our conduct. And that's a motivator that we should look at. So because God is our Father and He's holy, we should have holy conduct to be like Him. And also, secondly, the judge is going to be an impartial judge, and we should keep that in mind and make sure we have holy conduct that will withstand that type of judgment.
One sub-point that we might consider there is the great blessing that we have in being able to call God our Father. Certainly when we realize that if we do call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, we realize if we do that, that places a responsibility on us, but what a privilege it is as well. If we look on down through here, we might also consider that there are some other motivating factors. In verse 18, it talks about the cost. We see things that are of precious cost as being things that we ought to take care of, we ought to maintain, Maybe it's an expensive car or expensive house or whatever it is that we need to take care of. Well, here it says that we were redeemed not with something as small in value as silver or gold, but by the precious blood of Christ. Mark, did you have other comments about that?
Yeah, I was looking down through here too that just the motivators to have proper conduct are just jumping out of here. Remember, these people, in verse 9, he talked about the end result, their salvation. We know they were being persecuted, but in verse 17 there at the end, he just mentions, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth. That was an interesting point to me in the idea that their stay on earth is spoken of in more of a temporary type thing. So there would be a motivator too. I need to have good conduct during my temporary stay here on earth so that I can have the permanent outcome of my faith, this salvation and living in heaven too. So that was just another one I don't think we talked about in our earlier study. So there's just so many things in this passage, Paul, that tells us and motivates us to good, holy conduct.
I would agree with that. And another one that we see there is sometimes it helps people to change and to be different, to make these changes in their life when they realize that they're part of something so much larger than they are. And we see that here, that we read about Jesus, the one who provided that blood. He was the Lamb without blemish and spot, that he was indeed foreordained before the foundation of the world. And in these days, this age in which the gospel is being preached, he's made known to us, and that we have this ability to believe in him and believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead, and that is so that our faith and our hope are in God. We realize that this is something, again, so much bigger than us. It's part of God's plan. And it's such an incredible thing to me to realize that God wants us to be saved. He's cared so much about us that he is interested in us to that level that he wants us to be saved. And that's a big motivator for me.
And when we look at verse 21, there's just another motivator. This passage is chocked full of motivators. In verse 21, it talks about who through him, that is Christ, are believers in God. And notice what it says about God in verse 21. Believers in God who raised him, Jesus, from the dead and gave him glory. When you think about the persecution they might have been going under, they could have been killed for their faith back then. And even today, Christians can be killed for their faith. But there's a reminder there in verse 21 that we believe in God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory, and this God can raise us from the dead and give us glory. And I don't think the emphasis there is a physical resurrection here on this earth and the giving of that type of glory. But if you were a Christian that Peter's writing to and you were being persecuted, you'd have the reassurance to know that even if your physical body was killed, that you serve a God that someday would be able to raise you from the dead and give you glory along with Christ and the other Christians that were there. And he says at the end of verse 21, because God is able to do that, your faith and hope should be in God as you live with good conduct here on the earth is the idea, I think.
As you look at this passage, there's maybe a couple of ways in which we can see that it would help those of you who may be listening today. One is that if you've never obeyed the gospel and you want to change your life to be what God would want you to be, here are some tremendous factors that you need to consider, that you can call God your Father and realize that you'll have to answer to him regardless someday, and that he judges according to what you've done, and he does that impartially. Realize that God has given this incredible blessing, the blood of Christ, the only way you could be cleansed. And it's part of God's plan. And the God that you serve is an amazing God. It might also serve to those who are Christians about keeping their lives faithful and staying on the right track. And we see so many great things in this passage of Scripture that help us to understand that and to think about that. Maybe as you hear these words, you think, well, I need to do something. I need to change my life. You can have the cleansing that comes in Christ if you'll turn away from your sins and be baptized into Christ, if you live faithfully for him. We'd be happy to talk with you more about that. We're going to have to wrap our study up for today, but we hope that you'll join us again next week as we continue in 1 Peter and we study a few more minutes of truth.
Say.
Minutes of Truth is presented by the Ellettsville Church of Christ, meeting at 303 West Temperance Street in Ellettsville, Indiana. We invite you to our worship services on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. and 5 p.m. Bible study times are 9:45 a.m. on Sunday and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. We hope you will join us again next week at the same time for a few more minutes of truth.